This semester, I've been one step ahead of my students while teaching a course that's new to me called Religion, Magic, and Shamanism. Using an excellent textbook and a couple of really good ethnographies, the students and I have explored how religions around the world provide people with various cosmologies or frameworks for how to live a good life. Together, we've discovered that having a blueprint or a set of rules for what to do when life does not go as planned seems to allow people to recognize and respond to life's challenges in constructive ways, rather than to recoil and react impulsively. On a personal level, the course has been cathartic for me in that it has allowed me time to read and reflect on how my own cosmology has guided me through a tumultuous couple of years. The stress of living in a state that has not had a budget since July 2015, the strain this brings to a job I am passionate about, and the utter disillusionment in the actions of those I love most has not brought about the best in me. Top this off with being hit by a drunk driver 2 weeks ago as I was headed to teach in the Quad Cities. Talk about not seeing that one coming, and I've had more than enough material to ponder. And that being said, my life is still pretty awesome, and I have little to be unhappy with. I'm married to a wonderfully kind and tolerant husband and have two caring and healthy children. But, to be completely honest, I haven't done a stellar job at following the rules I try to organize my life around. I have serious anger issues, and I haven't been as compassionate or accepting of the reality that is mine as I would have hoped. A religious person might look to their church or mosque or temple for examples of how to carry on. But since I have a severe aversion to institutionalized religion, I look to people around me whose behaviors and actions I hope to be able to emulate. Dean Kaler is one person who's at the top of my list. He is, in my opinion, an unsung American hero. Someone who has had obstacles beyond what he could have ever imagined placed in his path, he is one of the most upbeat and positive people I know. I've known about Dean since I was in college. Our paths crossed several times 2 decades ago when I was living and working in Athens, Ohio. My husband, Michael, knows him much better and has been friends with him for many years. It was Michael, in fact, who brought up Dean in a conversation we were having the other day. We were talking about people who have overcome some unfathomable challenges and gone on to live remarkable lives. Michael looked at me square in the eyes and said, "Dean Kaler." On May 4th, 47 years ago today, Dean's life changed forever. Dean was a first-generation college student, a farm kid finishing up his first quarter at Kent State University. Raised in a religious household belonging to the Church of the Brethren, he was and still is a pacifist. He was more than willing to serve his country, but he wasn't going to carry a gun to do so. Beginning on May 1st, students at Kent State began protesting against the wars in Vietnam and Southeast Asia. When I spoke to him recently, I asked him what took him to the protest on May 4th. Dean said, quote, "I went to express my views about the wars in Vietnam and elsewhere, and I was also there to find out what I was and wasn't allowed to do," end quote. It is clear that Dean's upbringing provided him with a set of rules that guides his everyday behavior. It was important to him that he knew what the rules of the game were so he wouldn't overstep any boundaries. What he and others did not count on were the lines that were about to be crossed in the most violent of ways. 29 Ohio National Guardsmen, under the orders of then-Governor James A. Rhodes, fired approximately 67 rounds over a period of 13 seconds, killing 4 unarmed students and wounding 9 others. Dean was paralyzed from the chest down. For many people, a devastating event like this would have been enough to turn them into angry and bitter individuals. But not Dean. Although he was physically unable to walk away from the event, he has lived a life with a level of grace and dignity that we should all aspire to. When I spoke to him last week, his voice was full of joy and compassion, despite all of the challenges that life has presented him. When I asked him what his plan A had been as a college freshman, he responded that he wanted to be a history or government teacher and a high school coach of some kind. He then said that I needed to remember that May 4th was, quote, "one day and one moment on one college campus," end quote. What Dean ended up doing professionally isn't so different from his original goal. In 1977, he graduated from Kent State with a degree in education. For many years, he was a popular middle school and high school teacher of history and government in southern Ohio. He served two terms as an Athens County Commissioner. He also worked at the state level for the Ohio Industrial Commission, the Ohio Attorney General's Office, and the Ohio Secretary of State. He was even able to be a coach, although not in the manner he had originally imagined. Dean coached a women's softball league, and he jokingly admitted that they were there mostly for the social outlet, and he was never quite able to get them to fully grasp the rules of the game. And despite the amputation of his feet almost a decade ago, as a result of the vascular problems resulting from the trauma of 1970, he continues to remain active and is an inspiration to those around him. His most recent Facebook posts are filled with birthday wishes and photos of him racing his wheelchair in local road races. A featured quote on his Facebook page is, quote, "I don't let the grass grow under my wheelchair," end quote. The way he has lived his life is most certainly a profound testament to that. Although no one from the state of Ohio or the National Guard has ever apologized for what happened to him, Dean doesn't let that get to him. He found hope in the darkest day of his life and focused on the brightest parts of that day. He hasn't judged the universe for what happened to him, and as a result has become one of the greatest teachers for all of us. Thank you, Dean. Thank you.